Sue has been asked to give us the reading, which is Jeremiah 29, verses 4 to 7.
The Lord who rules over all is the God of Israel. He speaks to all those he forced to go from Jerusalem to Babylon. He says, build houses and make your homes there. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Get married, have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons. Give your daughters to be married. Then they too can have sons and daughters. Let there be many more of you and not fewer. Also, work for the success of the city I have sent you to. Pray to the Lord for that city. If it succeeds, you too will enjoy success.
Thanks, Sue. Thanks, Simon, too, for this morning. We seem to have some technical difficulties here. What's new? So we should have had the Bible reading on there, but when I click it, what happens? Nothing. If you clicked it, Howard, would you get the next slide? There we go. Right. Oh, dear. Now, if I click this, am I going to get the next one? I am. Yeah. Okay. Woo! I'm sorry if that's taken away from reading the Word this morning. But we will be looking at this passage. A couple of weeks ago, I was encouraged with a verse from Jeremiah 29. Verse 7 was the verse that was given to me. And that's the verse that says, work for the success of the city I've sent you to. Pray to the Lord for that city. If it succeeds, you too will enjoy success. And the more I've been thinking about this verse, the more I've been praying into it, the more I'm getting excited about it, thinking that this is a now word, not just for me, this is a now word for us here and now. Now, this passage that we've just listened to gives a surprising and a profound message to a group of people who had every reason to be filled with despair. These Jewish exiles were in Babylon. They'd been ripped away from their homeland. They'd stripped of their identity. They were living in a land of their enemies. Yet in their darkest moment, God does not come to them with a quick promise that everything's going to be all right. He doesn't come to them with a promise of return to their homeland. He doesn't come to them with a promise of revenge on their enemies. He comes to them and he commands them to seek the success or the welfare of the city where I have sent you. Now, in some ways, they shouldn't have been surprised by that, because God's intention right from the very beginning was to bless the whole of humanity. Right back in Genesis, several times he says to Abraham, through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. So I think if God could tell these Jewish exiles in Babylon to engage in the life of their city and to seek the welfare of their oppressors, how much more is God saying that to us today? You know, we live in much more comfortable circumstances and our oppressors aren't the Babylonians or anything like the Babylonians. But I think this passage seems to make it clear that the Church of God is never meant to withdraw from society to pursue its own interests. And it's not just when things are going well, when we feel we have all the resources, we have all the energy, we have all the ideas. No, it's when times are hard, when resources are scarce, when numbers are dwindling. It was just a remnant of Israelites in Babylon. but God was asking them to bless their city, to make it prosper, or to seek its prosperity. The question for us today is, what does it mean for us to seek the welfare or to seek the success of our city? How do we as believers live this out in our generation, in our context? Well, it's about engaging in our communities. God's command to the Israelites was clear. They were not to isolate themselves, withdraw, or wait passively for deliverance. Instead, they were to invest in the life of the city, to plant gardens, to build homes, to get married, seek the prosperity of Babylon, they were told. In short, they were to engage with their community around them. And we too are called to engage with our communities. And I think it's going to happen in two ways. Firstly, reactive engagement, and I think most of us are involved in reactive engagement. This is about pastoral care, pastoral seeing what's going on and responding to the needs around us. Whether it's in formal ministries like street pastors or safe families, night shelters or food co-ops, or indeed just looking out for the welfare of our neighbours, the welfare of those around us, offering practical help and kindness. You know, we never have the luxury of saying it's not our responsibility. And then there's the prophetic engagement. We're also called to be people of vision, advocating for the dignity of all people, because every human being was created in the image of God. Every human being. Our actions should help create a society where individuals and communities can flourish. Maybe you don't think of your actions as being prophetic. Well, let me just take one example, and forgive me, Matthew, I'm going to single you out here. The Gap. Do you see that as being prophetic? It is. The Gap, the garden project that Matthew had the vision for and he set up. This is prophetic. Why is it prophetic? Well, just think about what's going on a very basic level. It's helping people to produce vegetables and to share. It's facilitating and encouraging the local community to grow and share produce. But there's something much more going on here. People are being brought into community, complete with all the challenges that comes with that. But they're coming together as community. It's enabling people to be more than they were, have a greater vision, have a greater confidence of what or who they could be. That is prophetic. I think so often we limit what God can do through us because we don't understand that bringing in the kingdom of God is all about everything. God doesn't compartmentalise his blessings. Bringing vision and hope in any area is about enabling people to become more fully human, the way God intended. You know, some of us may even be led to civic or political engagement, helping shape policies that guide our town, our cities, our nations. Just by the way here, there's a conversation here to be had about the way we see and treat refugees and immigrants. I suggest that Jeremiah encourages us to view immigrants not through harsh labels, legal labels such as illegal aliens, but to view them as a blessing, believing they are meant to enrich and strengthen the communities they join. In Jeremiah's message, the Israelite immigrants are called to make a meaningful contribution to their new society. From Jeremiah's perspective, immigrants are a gift to be valued and appreciated. Verse 7 emphasises that this vision only works if immigrants are welcomed into our society. It's kind of turning verse 7 on its head, but I think it's something worth thinking about. We need to value the church, both the church gathered and the church dispersed. So Jeremiah's message to the exile wasn't just about personal obedience, but about the collective role of God's people in a foreign land. I think this speaks to us about how we understand the church. What is church? Is it the gathering of people on a Sunday morning? Do you come to church? Or are you part of the church? You are the church. Church is two things, has two aspects to it. You know, the church is the body of Christ, so we can't dip in and dip out. We are the body of Christ. So we are church gathered and church dispersed. So during the week, when we're not together, we're dispersed, but we're still church. So what does it look like for us to shine as lights from Monday to Saturday on our front lines, a phrase that we're used to, that we've heard about through previous years, whether in our workplaces, and some of us possibly are still at work, or our local communities, our families, our neighbourhoods. What does it mean to be salt and light? Now, way back in the past, before we introduced 1 Minute Stories, we used to have something called TTT. Anybody remember TTT? Yeah. What does it mean?
This time tomorrow.
Yes, thank you, Ruth. This time tomorrow. The whole point of this time tomorrow was we would ask somebody, we'd get them to prepare, to share what they'd be doing during the week, basically, not necessarily this time tomorrow, but during the week. And the whole point of that is that as church gathered, we can support and pray for church scattered, so that we have an understanding of what sisters and brothers are doing throughout the week. Do you know what everybody does during the week? I mean, not every little detail, but you know, generally speaking, what other people are doing during the week. I'm not sure I do. Maybe this is something we should reintroduce, get people to come and share, and then we can focus on them and pray for individuals on a Sunday morning. So when we gather as church on a Sunday morning or any other time during the week, it's to recharge and refocus. But the real impact of our lives is when we live our faith out, when we're dispersed or scattered into the world. So how are we, as church, investing in the welfare of our city, our communities, from Monday through to Saturday? How do we make a personal impact? Do you know, if you can't change the whole world, you can make a difference in your little corner of it. Archbishop Rowan Williams once said, "Even if you cannot make all the difference in the world, you should try to make the difference only you can make." Even if you can't make all the difference in the world, you should try to make the difference only you can make. Another bishop, Leslie Newbegin, who was a missionary bishop in South India, said, "The church and every local congregation of the church is intended to be by God a sign, an agent, and a foretaste of the kingdom of God. A sign, as Christians, we can be a sign by pointing beyond ourselves to the reality of God's coming kingdom. Our behaviour, our language, our presence, does it make people see something more or someone more than who we are? An agent, a Christian can be an agent of God's will, bringing his kingdom on earth. Through obedience to his word, living in the fullness of God's Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God is near, and we can bring the kingdom into other people's lives." And Frank and Rachel are very, very good at encouraging us to to work and live in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can be that agency of God in our own world. And thirdly, a foretaste, living in the presence and the power of the kingdom of his Holy Spirit. We can offer the world a glimpse of what fellowship with God is all about, that can be enjoyed now, not pie in the sky when we die. It's meat on the plate whilst we wait. Oh, where did that come from? So as we pursue a relationship with Jesus, we will be signs, we will be agents, we will be a foretaste of what the Father intends, not just for us, but for his creation, for the whole of humanity. And that's why we need one another. That's why we need to be supporting one another through the week on a Monday, in our Monday to Saturday lives, as was church scattered, church dispersed. And whilst this is true for us as individuals, New Begin was actually talking about the church as a community of God's people. So I think there are questions for us as Lawn Community Church to answer. We have a front line, as well as our own personal front line, as a church, as a congregation, as a community of God's people in this place, we also have our front line. So how are we, as Lawn Community Church, pointing beyond ourselves to God's kingdom, not only on our own front lines, but also to the community in Lawn, the front line of our gathered church? I have to say, these are questions. I don't have any answers. It'd be something worth thinking about and praying about and spending time with God about. Secondly, how are we as Lawn Community Church being agents of change in Lawn Community, causing others to look up and believe in the reality of God's kingdom? How are we as Lawn Community Church offering a foretaste of that fuller, greater reality which God intends, and in the process offers the world a glimpse of what is to come? Yeah, these are big questions, and these are things we need to be looking at, we need to be considering, we need to be spending time with God, asking and seeing where he is leading us. You know, I don't think it's about a particular ministry. Lots of churches do lots of good things, but we can't copy what other churches do. We need to know what God is calling us to do. So maybe that could be a focus for a prayer evening, or even an away day. It's been many years since we had an away day as church together. But briefly this morning, I suggest a few things. The least we should do is pray. Pray for the success or welfare of our community here in Lawn. What can we pray for? We could pray for our councillors, both our borough councillors, which is Lawrence Elliott, Neil Hopkins. Pray for our parish councillors.
And the emergency services. The emergency services.
We could pray for the emergency services. Yeah, thank you, Duncan. We could pray for our parish councillors. I had to look these up, I'm ashamed to say. Rebecca, and I've written to them already, so I ought to have known who they were. Rebecca Banwell Moore, Marianne LeCoit Grinney, and Graham Philpott. We should be praying continually for our local schools. There's Lawn Primary School and just further afield, Lawn Manor Academy and New College. We should be praying for the success of our local shops and businesses. One Stop, the off licence, the vape shop. Do you think you could pray for the success of the vape shop? For the vets, the medical centre. What about other churches in our area? Christchurch, the Polish Centre, JD Church, which is now called Equippers Church, I believe. We could pray for houses that are on the market in the area. Let's speak God blessing over families that are moving out and blessing over the families that are moving in. And let's pray for this building here and all that goes on in this place. There's groups like Rainbows guides, various support groups, and lots of social activities. That's just the beginning. Just imagine what God could do if we took him seriously and sought the success and welfare of this part of Swindon together. Jeremiah's message to the exiles is still relevant for us today. We're called to seek the success and welfare of the places where God has placed us, knowing that our well-being is tied to the well-being of our communities. So as church scattered and gathered, we are called to engage with our neighbours, seek justice, and live as signs of God's coming kingdom. So let's ask ourselves this week, how are we seeking the welfare of our communities? How are we engaging, not just as gathered church on Sunday, but as a dispersed community throughout the week? That's how are we engaging together? And how can each of us and our church family together make the unique difference God has called us to make in the world around us? Here's your homework for the week. Are you all listening? Okay. I challenge each of us to take at least one practical step towards seeking the welfare and success of our communities. Whether it's volunteering, praying for leaders, or simply being a good neighbour, let's live out God's call to make a difference where we are. And the second part of the challenge is come prepared next Sunday morning to tell us about it. Have you got that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us to this place and this time. Help us to keep our eyes firmly fixed on you, that we may have tender hearts and large visions, knowing that you have all the resources we will ever need to be your blessing to the people around us, living in the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. Amen.